This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
As y'all know, we're in our What a Savior series, and we've been looking at the person of Jesus Christ, our amazing Savior. My desire in this series is that you've just seen how much He loves you, that you've seen how much He's done for you, how much He cares for you, about how He's so interested in every detail of your life. I pray that you've started to see that in this series. Whenever we look in the Word, the Bible depicts the church, His church, a number of ways. Three of those ways include us as a family, us as a fellowship, and then another way is it depicts us as a flock, all right, as a flock. Whenever we go to the Word and we look at Psalms 100, verse 32, it says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You see that it calls us sheep there. Whenever we go to John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, because this verse tells us what Satan's main objective is, but then it also tells us, this is Jesus speaking, what He came to do, amen? It says, the thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. But here's Jesus saying, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's His plan for all of us. Come on, somebody say amen today. Amen. But then verse 11 keeps on going and says, I am the good shepherd. Again, Jesus saying this, the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. So Jesus called Himself the good shepherd. And today we're going to be looking at Jesus the shepherd. Okay, Jesus the shepherd. Now it's a good thing that He's the shepherd. Here's the reason why. As sheep, we're not always the brightest. Sheep are known not to be the smartest creatures. They're not known to necessarily be dumb, but they're not known to be the smartest creatures. Whenever you look at the characteristics of a sheep, it's very common that they just do whatever the herd does. You know, if one starts moving, they'll all just start moving, and everybody in the back's like, well, sure, we'll go too. And a lot of times we're that way, and we make poor decisions. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Has anybody ever left God's path before? Maybe for a season, maybe for a short season, long season, right? We've made poor decisions. We've kind of got off track. So we really do need a good shepherd. Can we all just agree today? We all really need a good shepherd. Today we're going to go to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in chapter 23. Whenever we think about the 23rd Psalm, probably most of us in here have heard it. Either you've read it. I mean, you can just watch TV or you can watch movies. It's probably the most widest known psalm, you know, on earth. You can be watching a movie, and if there's like a funeral service in the movie, there's a really good chance that in that funeral service, you know, that's part of the movie, that they'll even mention the 23rd Psalm. It was written by David, King David, and in case you didn't know, King David didn't write all of Psalms, but he wrote 73 of 150, so almost half. But he starts out in verse 1, and y'all, this is just such rich scripture. I want us to just sit here just for a minute. He starts out saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that just beautiful? It's just beautiful. Now, I want to look at it in one other translation, and I want to go ahead and just say, this is the Passion Translation. Some love it, some hate it. I like some of it, okay? So I want us to read this because I like a few of the things that it says here. It says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even whenever your path takes me through the valley of the deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? For your goodness and your love pursue me all the days of my life. Then after my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Isn't that good? It's beautiful, isn't it? I love that translation of it. You know, many believers struggle with fear and anxiety, but it's due to an absence of truly knowing him and what he says about our lives. It's due to not truly knowing him, our good shepherd, and what he says about our lives. We often get worked up about the smallest things. Has that ever happened to anybody? You get some news and all of a sudden your mind just goes to running, right? I was actually talking to our kid's pediatrician the other day, and because the kids both had the flu, and he said that just the night before his son had called and said that his grandson was dealing with something in his knee. He said, "Gene," and within 3 minutes, I had thought about the worst possible thing that could have happened to my grandson's knee. You know, just him being a doctor. Sometimes our mind will just run off, but we often get worked up over even the smallest things, and we'll even exaggerate the size of our issue, hear me, to justify our reaction to it. How many of y'all sometime have been guilty of overreacting to things? And so as we're talking about our situation, sometimes we will almost make it much bigger than it really is just to justify our freaking out. But whenever you begin to saturate yourself in the Word, hear me today, you'll realize that God's not anxious. God's not nervous about anything that you're going through. Not one bit. He knows your problems. He knows every detail. And he is our solution. Come on, somebody. But he's not nervous. The enemy doesn't make the Lord nervous whatsoever. And the truth is that we must know the Word. I need you to hear me today. I need you to hear me today. Every one of us must know the Word of God. Okay? And it's not to just be able to memorize a few scriptures. You may say, "Pastor Gene, sometimes it's really hard reading in the Old Testament. Have you read Lamentations?" I have. But listen to me, whenever you know the Word of God, that's whenever you'll know how you can respond to the enemy. See, whenever it's on the inside of you. So for instance, whenever Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and the enemy was tempting him for 40 days, Jesus responded with, "The Word says." He says, "As it is written." And so whenever we have that Word on the inside of us and we're dealing with situations, then we can respond to the enemy with what the Word says. Come on now. So we've got to know the Word so that we can apply it to our life. So what I want to do today is look at the 23rd Psalm, and I want to break it down, and we're going to walk through it. And I really think you're going to get something out of this, but in the midst of that, we're also going to put a few points in there talking about our good shepherd. So are we ready to go this morning? All right, all right. Verse number one, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. Now, this is the New King James that we're walking through today. It uses the word "want" as in lack. In other words, I won't go without because of our shepherd. So our first thing today is that he provides. Our good shepherd, he provides. The Lord's a provider. He's our shepherd. And that's how David begins this psalm. He's the one that takes care of us and gives us what we need. Maybe not exactly what we want, though. Right? Have you ever had a want or a desire, but you didn't get it, right? Here's the thing. A lot of times, it's in his grace that he doesn't give us what we want. Hear me. It's in his grace that he doesn't give us what we want. Now, you may think, but if I'm his child and he wants me to be happy, then why isn't he giving me what I want? Because he sees your life way down the road. And he knows what it's going to take for us to get to that destiny that he has for us. And so it could be that maybe you've got an idea and a want as far as a career goes. And the Lord says, sorry, that's not what I have for you, because this is where you need to end up. And this is going to take you over here. Or maybe you're saying, Lord, I really, really want this person to be my spouse. And he's like, you know, I hear you, but that's not the one that I've already picked out for you. Come on now. I almost made that mistake, right? I would not be on this stage had I married the person that I wanted to marry originally, right? But the Lord says, no, Gene, that's not the person I have for you. There's a sweet girl in Fairhope, Alabama that I've been saving for you. And by the way, she can preach the paint off the walls, Gene, and so you need her in your life. And so a lot of times we might not get everything we want, but it's his grace, because he wants us to end up where he has for us, the destiny that he has for us. But he gives us what we need, amen? He gives us what we need. He knows what's best for our lives. Our children, they're wise whenever they realize that doing what we say will make life easier on them and their rear end, right? They're wise whenever they realize that. Whenever they have their own agenda, which goes against what we know is right, life gets uncomfortable for them. There are times whenever the Lord's trying to close doors on us, but we just feel like we're going to go through those doors anyway. Like we're going to force something to happen. And whenever we do that, life will get uncomfortable for us. Why? Because we've gotten off track. We've gotten off, if you will, the road that he had for us to get to the destiny that he had for us. And so a lot of times we'll make things happen, but that's not part of his will. So life is uncomfortable. But here's something I want us to think of. Our Lord is full of love, and he's full of mercy, and he's full of grace, and he is our friend. But we've got to realize he is Lord. Come on. And he should have final say in our life. Amen. And so whenever you follow him as shepherd, you shall not want. You shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. As believers, our lives should reflect that we're content. Whenever you look at biblical contentment, it's a state of inward satisfaction. It's peace. It's gratitude because of God's goodness towards us. He's been so, so good towards us. And our shepherd finds this place of green pastures where we can be nourished, where we can lie down, where we can find rest, where we can have our needs met. And some of you, maybe you've been walking through a hard season, and the Lord's brought you here to Church Alive, and this is the time where you're resting. This is the time where you're being able to be fed spiritually. You're being able to grow spiritually. You're getting nourished, amen? And you're finding rest, and you're just lying down, and you're having your needs met. Here's the thing. As you're here and you're resting, the Lord's using this as a time to just strengthen you. Maybe you came out of a situation. Maybe you've just come out of something, maybe in life, or even out of another church. Maybe there's been some church hurt, and if so, we're so, so sorry. But the Lord's given you this time to where there's healing that's coming to you. Yes. You're just being nourished and you're resting, amen? Amen? Whenever we look at still waters, they represent peace. A lot of times we come to church because, don't you love the peace that's in this atmosphere? Amen. You see, in this room, we don't have to deal with strife. We don't have to deal with drama. We don't have to deal with a lot of yay-yan. This is a place full of peace. If you go back one chapter to chapter 22 of Psalms, it says basically that whenever we praise the Lord, he inhabits the praises. Our praises go up and he comes down to this place. Here's something that's great. Your storms, they can't penetrate this place whenever you're in here. And so we come here and there's peace in this place because it's the presence of God that reigns in this place. Amen? And you get to eat from the green pastures of the word as well while you're here. And I just want to say this. One reason that myself and our elders really, really, really protect this house and we deal with situations quickly whenever they pop up is because we want to protect the peace that's in this place. Come on, y'all need to hear me today. You deal with drama at work. You deal with drama at school. You should not have to deal with it here. And you will not have to deal with it here. I want to go ahead and tell you this is a safe place. Amen. In the words of Barney Fife, we nip it in the bud in a hurry. We nip it in the bud because we want to protect this place. Everything, listen, whenever we come here, everything's about him. And we're not going to get sidetracked with mess and with drama and with all that kind of junk, right? Verse 2 started with, he makes me lie down. You know, sometimes our shepherd will just make us lie down by changing our situation. Maybe there's been a time in your career whenever you were just rolling and things were good, but it was really too much. And maybe there was just kind of an abrupt change in your situation with your career and you didn't understand it. But now that you look back at it, it was a blessing. It was because your mental health is better now. Because your marriage is better now. Because your family's actually spending time together now. And you didn't understand it at the time, but you look back and you're like, oh, that was God's plan. And it worked really well. Sometimes he'll make us lie down and slow down. But it's in that season, though, that we draw closer to our shepherd. In those seasons, whenever things slow down, because a lot of times, let's say your work kind of came to a little bit of a screeching halt, then if you don't watch it, panic mode can kick in, right? But we got to remember that he's our supplier, he's our provider. Jehovah Jireh, it's one of God's names. He provides for us. And so whenever we press into him, we have more of a dependency on him, we'll actually draw closer to him. And it just builds our faith for future situations. Amen. Verse 3, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Now, the translation of the word soul here in this version is saying that he restores me completely. Spirit, soul, and body. And David was crediting the Lord for the restoration process in his life. If we were to think about the life of David, we've taught it before here. If we were to think about his life, it was not just a great life. Did he end up being a powerful king, a man after God's own heart? Yeah. But like, life at home was not good. In case you didn't know this, he was kind of the outcast of his brothers. Just as a heads up, it was believed that David was born out of wedlock, and so his other brothers, they had a different mother, and so that's kind of one reason that he was out in the fields constantly. But whether you look at that, whether you look at the point that he was on the run from Saul for years, Saul literally trying to kill him, right, before he ever became king, you can think about the story of Ziklag, whenever David and his men, they go out to fight, they come back, and their wives and their kids have all been taken. The place has basically just been burned, and his own men are trying to turn on him, and they're thinking, we need to just kill this guy right now. I mean, he went through some stuff, but he credits God for the restoration in his life, spirit, soul, and body. Now, maybe you're here today, and with something that you've gone through in your life, you say that you feel like you've been crushed. Maybe it's a death of a loved one. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's abuse. I don't know. That's just a few possible examples. And you say, Pastor Gene, I just feel like I've been absolutely crushed. What you're really saying is that your soul has been crushed. Like David, you may feel beat up. You may feel that you've just been put through the ringer, that you've been crushed. And truly, through ministry, through counseling, and by the way, we're all about counseling as long as it's a Christian that's leading it, amen? But restoration can come to you. I want you to understand that. There was a leper that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. That wasn't just his skin problem. That got fixed, but the inside, everything that was wrong with that man, it had become whole again. And that's God's desire for you. He wants you to become whole again. And right now, some of you feel like you are so fractured on the inside. The Lord cares. The Lord sees it. The Lord wants to put you back together. Come on, can somebody just say amen today? This restoration process is a result of the Lord's care because he cares so much for you. Continuing on with verse 3, it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Righteousness is us in right standing with God. I'm in right standing with God because of grace, of course, through faith. And so we're saved and in right relationship. And of course, Ephesians 2:8, it backs that up. But I want to be in right standing with God and be pleasing to him. Amen. I want to be in fellowship with him as well. And so the Holy Spirit leads us in the right way that we should go. And whenever we go down his paths, then blessings come in our life. He leads us. Somebody say he leads us. Something I want you to think about today is this, is that shepherds don't drive sheep. they lead them. If they try to drive them, they just kind of go all over the place. They lead them. Sheep will just follow the shepherd. And that's what our God does. He doesn't force us. But he does say to us, hey, here's the way you should go. And he leads us down that path. Whenever we take his path, once again, we're going to find that that's the exact place that we need to be. And then it says, for his name's sake, which means for the sake of his reputation. Of his reputation. Here's something I want you to get. He's a God who keeps his promises, and he'll do all of this for us. I read a commentary that said, the good shepherd will not be false to himself. That's good. Will not be false to himself. And so David's basically saying he leads me on the perfect path because that's what he's known for. What else would he do? That's what David's trying to say here. And in every victory that we have, I want you to understand the name of Jesus is celebrated. Amen. Because of what he's done, the name of Jesus is celebrated whenever we have victory. So number one, he provides. And then number two is he protects. He protects. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. With him as our Lord, with him as our shepherd, we can walk through storms and adversity fearless. Yes. It's possible. I know it's hard but to think about that, but it's possible. You know, death is supposedly everyone's biggest fear. And you may say, no, death's not my biggest fear. I know where I'm going to be as soon as I die. Any of y'all feel that way? But you may say, that's not my biggest fear, but Pastor Gene, snakes are. Yeah, you're scared that a snake's going to bite you and kill you is what you're scared of, right? Truth. You may say, well, I'm not scared to die, but I am scared to get on an airplane. My grandma used to say, Gene, the Bible says, lo, I'm with you always, not high. not 30,000 square feet up. It's the cheesiest joke, and she said it every time I was flying somewhere. But you may say, well, you know, I'm not scared to die, but I'm scared of being on an airplane. You're scared of that plane going down and you dying, right? But I want us to think about this whole thing about death. Jesus takes our biggest fear that we have and he just destroys it, right? Because he conquered death so that we don't have to be afraid. As soon as we exhale on earth and we inhale in eternity, y'all, we just got a promotion. I mean, you know, it's like, holy moly, this is what we've waited for. This is what everything we've talked about and that we've believed for. This is the inheritance of it as soon as we inhale in eternity. And so we don't even have to fear death. As verse 4 continues on, it says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For you are with me. We're never alone. And whenever we truly submit to him as our shepherd, he's always with us. We see that promise in the word that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. He's with us, amen? We've got to stay with the good shepherd though. Don't ever leave him, stay with him, amen? Stay with him. Isn't it good to know that he's with us in our battles? He was with you on the worst day of your life. A lot of you can remember that. But here's some more news for you. He was with you on your best day of your life too. He's never gone anywhere. He's never gone anywhere. And you can experience his presence like never before whenever you're kind of walking through that valley of the shadow of death. What'll happen is there's times whenever we go through something so hard that all of a sudden we realize he is the only one that can bring us through it. I've been guilty of trying to think that I can get myself through the hard seasons. Whenever I turn the wheel over to him, it turns out a lot better than what I could ever do. Amen? And so whenever we walk through those hard seasons and we really express our dependency on him, it's going to change the way we see future battles that we deal with. And the truth is, I mean, James says this, that we're going to deal with battles, right? We're going to deal with adversity. We're going to deal with things. But it's a beautiful place whenever we're completely dependent on him. Whenever he has lordship in our lives, that relationship, it's strengthened every time that we come through a battle. And we see him differently. He's a faithful and a caring shepherd. Now, as sheep, let's talk about the rod and the staff. The rod and the staff, they comfort us. I need you to hear me. They truly do comfort us. And the reason is because he's not using it on us. He's using it on the wolf. He's using it on our enemy. Amen? So the rod and the staff, they comfort us. This isn't about punishment, because shepherds don't beat the sheep. That's not what they do. They love the sheep. They take care of the sheep, but they will gladly beat the wolf. They will gladly beat the enemy to protect the sheep, and that's what your shepherd does for you. He uses it to protect you. And I want to say this today, the enemy is definitely scared of our shepherd, and he understands that the shepherd could wipe him off the planet just like this. It's not like they're just duking it out and we hope that God will win. That's not it. Satan was a created being and he can be done with just like that. That was really good news, y'all. He cannot overpower our God. Come on, somebody. And so Satan understands the power of God, and Satan fears God, and Satan fears some sheep, but not all sheep. Now, why is that? Because we don't know the word. Because we don't understand our authority and who we are and whose we are. Because we're not walking in that authority. We're not full of the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus told the disciples, he said, you stay right here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Amen. He told them, you don't need to go anywhere unless you have the Holy Spirit going with you. So I went down this road last week whenever I talked about the need for the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, because power comes from it. I want you to understand me today. Satan is not scared of a lot of Christians because they don't know the word, because they don't understand their authority, and they have no power. They have no power whatsoever. We got to know the word. We've got to walk in that authority. We got to walk in that power. Amen. But we got to stay with the shepherd. And I also want to say this, that whenever wolves are going after a sheep, they're not going right into the middle of the flock. They're going after the guy that's out here by himself, that pulls away from the shepherd, that pulls away from the sheep. They pick off the ones just kind of in the outside. So if a wolf was coming up and was going to, you know, if he was hungry, he's coming after me right now because I'm away from y'all. He's not running into the middle of y'all. He's coming after me. Stick with the shepherd. You also need a flock to be connected to as well. Right. Hear me today. A lot of people think that they don't have to be plugged into a church. And you know what? That's true. You don't necessarily have to be plugged into a church. But I want you to know life's going to be a lot better whenever you are plugged into a church. You need to hear me today. There is a covering that's over you as part of this church. And I'm not talking about the metal roof above you. There's like an umbrella covering. Whenever you come out from underneath the covering of a body of believers, you will get rained on. You will get rained on. The enemy will go after you because you're out there by yourselves. And I've seen it time and time and time again. People, they just feel like, well, I don't have to go to church. And their life is just rough since they got apart from the flock and since they separated from the shepherd, amen? So stick with the flock, stick with the shepherd. Yes. Now verse 5 right here is a verse that just absolutely wrecks me whenever I think about it. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now if you and I are in a battle, and let's think about visually being in a battle, why is it that we'd be sitting down to eat at a table? And if we were sitting down eating at a table, wouldn't it be hard to really enjoy it because of all that was going on? Wouldn't we keep our eyes on the enemy and just probably try to scarf it down really quick, right? Well, we've got to look at what the Lord's trying to say through this scripture. Let's think about this just for a minute. Our shepherd wants to prepare a table in front of us, and whenever we look at one of the representations of a table in the scripture, it's about fellowship. So our shepherd wants to put a table of fellowship in front of us. Now, let me give you a visual just for a minute. I want y'all to think about maybe a battle that you're in, and I want you to visualize this drum cage right here as being the battle, right? So you're looking at your battle. Y'all get this big dark drum cage right here. I want you to think about me as the shepherd. And what Jesus does is, as our good shepherd, he brings this table and he sets it right in front of you. And what he does is he says, Teresa, Denise, Debbie, James, come and just sit right here at this table of fellowship. And this is in the middle of our battle that he's saying this. And so many times we're just looking at our enemy and we're not focusing on our amazing God. We're thinking about our enemy and how big he is whenever the truth is he pales in comparison to our God. And what the shepherd says is, here, come, I've prepared this table for you, a table of fellowship, a table of blessing. And what I want you to do is, in this time, don't look back here at your battle. Don't focus on your battle. I want you to just focus on me. And so imagine yourself just sitting right here, and that I'm Jesus. And he's saying, look, just focus on me. I've given you everything you need. Enjoy this and know that I'm bringing you through this. Rather than focusing on this right here, he's saying, just keep your eyes on me and you're going to come through this battle. Yes. And in the process, he gets to look back at Satan and just say, are you seeing this right now? And just rubbing it in his face. Listen to me today. As you're walking through battles, we often focus on the size of it, or we focus on the details of it, whenever we need to direct all of our attention on Jesus, who has literally prepared a table of fellowship, and he wants you to just be right there with him and talking with him about what you're going through, talking with him about what you're feeling, and just saying, and he's saying to you, listen, focus on me. Don't focus on that, and you're going to come through. Amen? Did y'all get anything out of that? Yeah. Amen. Verse 5 goes on with, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now in Scripture, oil represents the Holy Spirit, but it also represents us being refreshed, it represents us being strengthened, and in the midst of the battle, he'll refresh you and strengthen you. That's good news, y'all. He'll refresh you and strengthen you in the midst of your battle. And you may say, how is that whenever I'm having to fight this thing? Well, first of all, whenever you become dependent on him and allow him to fight this for you, then there's a refreshing and a strengthening that's going to come to you because you've given that to him. The Bible says, come on, cast your cares on me, right? The word says that, right? And so he can refresh and he can strengthen you. Also, if we were to go back a couple thousand years, it was etiquette if you were to invite someone over to your house, like let's just say for dinner, that you would actually rub olive oil on their head as they walked into your home because they were welcomed guests. And so David is saying here, as he's writing Psalm 23, he's saying, Lord, you welcome me as an honored guest, as an honored guest. And I think that's beautiful. And verse 5 continues with, my cup runs over. This is him saying that he fills us up. He fills us up. And whenever we truly make him Lord of our life, then I want you to know our heart will flow with rivers of living water. Amen? I mean, just like John 7:38 says, you need to hear me today. Every one of y'all are a vessel. Come on, tap your neighbor and say, you're a vessel too. Every one of us are a vessel, and through you, others are going to be saved. Others are going to be healed. Others are going to be delivered. Others are going to be set free. And it'll just flow out of you because of your faithful connection to him, your shepherd. You need to hear me. Blessings will run over in your life as well. You're not just going to be a blessing to others, but those blessings are just going to overflow in your life as well. And whenever you're used by God to make a difference in somebody else's life, y'all, that's our cup just running over. So our shepherd provides, our shepherd protects. And number 3 is he promises. Our shepherd promises. Now, the provision and protection discussed are promises, but there's more actually, because verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy, that's so good, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Psalms 23 already is included so much, but it also includes eternity as well. His promises for goodness and mercy, or he's promised us goodness and mercy, and again, eternal life. Now, something I want us to think about is that goodness and mercy will follow us, but listen to me, it's actually going to chase you down whenever he's your shepherd. It will just naturally chase you down. Just the favor of God on your life whenever you're allowing him to lead you, amen? It's going to chase you down. And maybe today, and let me just ask you, if you feel like you've been running from God, there's a lot of times people are not walking with God, and they're just what we would call running from God. They're just resistant to God, and they think that God's judgment's going to get me. No, it's not. His goodness and his mercy is what he wants to get you with. You see, if you would ever just turn around, hear me today, if you would ever just turn around and stop running, then you're going to see this loving shepherd with his arms wide open, with his arms wide open that just wants to love you. That just wants to, any kind of beating up that you've had, like we talked about, being crushed and stuff, that just wants to take care of your needs. It's his goodness and his mercy. And that's what chases us down. It's not his judgment. He loves you so much. He's just wanting you to just stop and to just turn around just so that he can show you how much he loves you. Amen? 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have this amazing promise here in verse 6 that we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Of course, we're not talking about a church building here, but we're talking about eternity with him. Eternity with him. Now, we've talked about us being sheep today based on what Scripture tells us. But in case you didn't know, Jesus is also called a lamb in Scripture. Isaiah 53 mentions this. Verse 7, it says, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He's the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said that in John 1, whenever he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Whenever he called Jesus out. He's the Lamb. And if we go back to John 10, where we started, do you remember verse 11? It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for a sheep. He gives his life for a sheep. So he provides for us. He gives his life for us. He protects us. He promises us goodness, mercy, and he promises us eternal life as well. Can we not just agree that we have such an amazing Savior? Such an amazing Savior. If you will today, just bow your heads and just close your eyes. If you're here today and you're walking through a time of uncertainty, I want you to know that he will provide for you. Hear me. He will provide for you. If you're dealing with fear today, I want you to know he will protect you. Once again, he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Don't focus on your enemy. Focus on him. He'll protect you. And today, I'm just speaking his goodness and his mercy are just chasing you down today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.